topic today, as you can see, is hashtag first world problems. So what is a first world problem? Give me an example. First world problem. Shoot them up. That's actually one of the first ones that always comes up, so yeah, good. That is a very serious one, actually. What else? Give me an example of a first world problem. Starbucks. Do you want to say it again, just for the people often? I know that very well. Any other first world problems? Is that the only one you guys ever face? Guys, like, I don't know why we started being shy all of a sudden. The what?
The AC.
The AC, okay, fair enough. Probably a big one. There's no... Big one as well, phone dies. Okay, I'll take two more. I know you guys can come up with so many of them. One more. Okay. When you add a story, I'm gonna get a Snapchat.
Stop getting messages.
Never experienced that. All right. Okay. So thank you for the examples. So those were examples of what is a first world problem. Define it for me. So those were examples, but give me a definition of what a first world problem is. If you have to create a definition for the dictionary, what would it be? Behers was really creative. Sarah's was really thought out. So Sarah, can you just say yours again?
A minor inconvenience
blown out of proportion. Sorry? In this and what? What is that? Okay. All right, so that was a good definition from Sarah. Is it actually in the dictionary, though? First world problem? It's a dictionary. So it actually officially made it in the dictionary in around 2012. And we're talking like Oxford and real dictionaries, not like the slang one online or anything like that. So it is actually a term that gets used a lot. And if you looked at a lot of the examples that were given, you'll notice kind of a common theme or element, and it's a time manipulation. So it's things or a control manipulation. So it's things not going my way or things not going as fast as I wanted them to go because I wanted them done 10 minutes ago. And I don't want to wait 30 seconds for my story to upload because like now there's messages that are waiting, right? Or now I gotta wait again for a new Starbucks order to be made, for example. So it's always an idea of time. And that's what I wanted to talk about a bit today is this kind of obsession, and I won't say we, I'll say I, this obsession that I have with speed and everything going fast and everything has to go my way, okay? So they used to say that speed of light was the fastest thing. I'm not a science person, but is that correct? Speed of the light is technically the fastest thing? I'm getting a yes from Behar, so I'm going to take that as yes, because he knows what he's talking about. So they used to say that used to be the fastest thing. Now they're actually saying that technology travels a lot faster than the speed of light. So whereas people used to use that phrase as referencing what speed is or how fast something is, now all of a sudden technology is going a lot faster. So in my days, the internet was like this dial-up, and you couldn't use the phone. Like, that really was a problem. So you couldn't use the phone. It made a crazy sound. I don't know if any of you will remember the dial-up sound. And then now, you know, it's 3G, and then 4G, and then like 4G Lite. And then even then, like, if you, God forbid, see that buffering thing on Netflix, or you see a page loading, like, ain't nobody got time for that to wait. So it's become like a serious problem for the speed part. And that's where patience comes in. So is patience in the dictionary? Okay. Good. Define patience. What would be the dictionary definition of patience without looking it up? I didn't ask a lot of questions today, so it's just guys like, just pull through and make it work. What is the definition of patience without looking it up? complicated word. I'll take it in Arabic, French, or Spanish as well. You seem to have one deep down, but you're projecting it on Ewa, so why don't you share with us? The ability to wait, excellent. So it's very close to what it was. So it was the power, capacity to endure without complaint something disagreeable. Okay, the other second definition was long suffering. Where do we see long suffering in the Bible? The fruit of the Spirit, I heard a whisper somewhere. Exactly, so it's part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And I just want to highlight that it's actually fruit, because I've heard sometimes people say fruits, and I used to say fruits, but if you're interested, Emba Yusuf from Southern Diocese has a lot of sermons on it, and he always makes a point to explain that it's fruit of the Spirit, because they all go together. So they're not multiple ones where you can kind of pick and say, well, I like, you know, love and joy, they sound great, and kindness sounds really nice, but long-suffering and patience aren't my cup of tea, so at least I've got, you know, maybe three out of, you know, seven. So the idea is that think of it as like a bunch of grapes. It's a vine, so they all are connected, even though they're all kind of separate on their own, they all go together. So keep in mind that it's just fruit of the Spirit. That was just kind of a side note. So back to patience, it's the idea of long suffering, which goes in line with the fruit of the Spirit, which is something that we all know if we kind of live by those guidelines, life would go a lot easier. So we're just going to do a tiny interactive portion right now where I'll ask you guys questions. Oh, you don't have any red ones? They're only. So we're all done with the twirling? Great. So let's take the yellow stick. What's the yellow stick? No, red. Changed my mind. Perfect. Let's do the red ones. Okay. So you have red. Stick. That's pink. Paper. Wow. This is a lot easier in my head. So with the red stick, you have two options. I'm going to read out a statement and you just say which one applies to you, which one you would pick. Again, as you've probably heard, don't follow peer pressure. Don't do the end thing. Just do what you would answer. Nobody's judging you. So you have two options on the red one. One is kind of time and patience. So I'm going to read a statement, and if you would wait it out, you can use the patience side. The other side is the Nike slogan of just do it. I don't have time to wait. Ain't nobody got time. I'm just going to do it. Okay? I need my soccer shorts cleaned for tomorrow's game, but my mom is busy until next Friday. So you wait it out. You wait out and you just don't wash them. You wait for mom to wash them on Friday, even though you have a game tomorrow. Or just do it as you go and wash them. You wear them dirty, you don't go to your game. That's an adult decision you make. But you either wait it out or you do it yourself. Okay? All right. Everyone sure? Okay. Next one. My friend has not checked WhatsApp or replied to my text for 49 minutes. I think I'm going to call her. My friend has not checked WhatsApp in 49 minutes. I'm thinking of calling her. Joe has a lot of patience. Okay, all right. I just want to cut some out because of time. The cashier requires a price check at the grocery store. You're either at like Winners or the grocery store or whatever, and the price isn't on it, so the cashier has to send for a price check. Wait it out. You never know. You gotta wait for the person in the other department to come. Okay, so wait it out or just forget it. Just tell her forget it. Just process whatever I have now. Forget it? Okay. All right, one more. Okay. This sounds like a real problem, this one. I went over my data limit this month, but if I don't post the Snapchat story, it'll be lost because there's no memory on my phone. So if you... I went over my data limit this month, but if I don't post the Snapchat story, it will be lost because there's no memory on my phone. So you wait it out and you take the risk of like just leaving your phone in hand until you have internet and not doing anything else on your phone. Or you just turn on your data. It's just going to be really quick. No peer pressure, guys. You're your own individual. It's Snapchat, so I mean, you made a lot of effort for that 10-second video. Okay. All right, cool. All right, so we're done with the red sticks. Still don't pick your ears on. So the idea with all your answers is they were all different. There wasn't one where you guys all consistently chose the same answer. And it goes back to, you know, think about if you use the patience one at all. Think about if all your stuff was like, no, I'm just going to do it as is. I'll take it as is. Sometimes, obviously, there's compromise. You got to go. You know, you don't really need that. You know, sometimes at Walmart you're shopping and, you know, the cashier says, well, I can take you on the other cash if you don't have anything that needs to be weighed. So it happens to me often. Okay, like I really don't need bananas or something this week. But sometimes you do need to wait out certain things. And so the idea is that everything now is really quick. Okay, Snapchat, so it's quick. Instagram, instant. Okay, drive-thrus are open 24 hours. Self-checkout, because you don't want to, you know, have to wait for that old lady to put item by item before you. Instant noodles, even like speed yoga now. So yoga, which was supposed to be the one relaxing thing people did for an hour of time for themselves and self-care. It says here, I'm taking a speed yoga class. Now I can meditate for an hour in only 10 minutes. So it's this constant idea of go, 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 and always being in a rush, right? Where do we see impatience in the Bible? Somebody who wasn't very patient. Old Testament, a lot of it. Thank you. People of? Yeah? Good. A lot of examples. I heard a whisper on Abraham, and so I think Abraham is a good example, because if you think about it, so Sarah, you know, really wanted this child, and she was getting older and older, and so, you know, she decided to kind of speed up God's agenda. She made this plan. Okay, well, I can't have a baby, so I'll let my servant have a baby, and then now I'll have a baby. So imagine kind of watching that on TV right now in our modern times, or like hearing that in the news or reading it somewhere. It almost sounds like a soap opera, right? But what Sarah did is she decided to take things into her own hands and solve it. And Abraham was just kind of on board. He was like, okay, sounds good. Like, we're going to have a baby. Sounds good. It doesn't matter the logistics, but we'll do it. And so they didn't know that God had something, you know, a lot better planned for them, something a lot less complicated, just kind of a simple and beautiful plan for them to originally have their own child. And so in addition to kind of wanting everything and fast, the other thing that we also want to know, that we also always want, is this kind of like knowledge. I don't want to call it nosiness, but it's this like sense of curiosity all the time, or feeling that I kind of have to know everything. So just as a personal example, when I'm not here, I go to this thing called work, and they make me be a lawyer there. So what that basically means is I have to kind of work on cases. And what's the best way for a lawyer to prepare? Sorry? Okay, I will tell you. So, you know, and as in sports, sometimes what's your best defense? Good offense, exactly. So a lot of times the best way is to just be prepared just in case, no matter what, in advance for what's coming. So it's trying to strategize and know what the other party is going to do, all right? So the more I, for example, know my client, the more I spend time to get to know them, I'll probably do better representing them in court. The more I know the judge, what font they like to read, you know, what patience level they have, what it means when they put their pen down, when they sigh, when they start rocking in their chair, the better I'll be able to read the judge and know, you know, if he's listening or not, right? If I know about the other lawyer, then I can prepare better. I'll know if they're aggressive, if they're not, etc. So a lot of times knowledge does help us in certain things, but sometimes we want to just know to know, right? So how did the serpent trick Eve at the end of the day? What did he sell her on? Just knowledge. If you think about it, he just said, hey, do you want to know everything? Eat this apple. So it's this idea of knowledge, and we're not that far off from Eve sometimes in that we always want to know. Okay, we always want that extra knowledge. We don't just say, it's not my business, I don't need to know, my brain has enough right now. Have you ever tried to explain Snapchat to somebody who doesn't have it? What would it sound the explanation like? What would the explanation like really go? And we were having this conversation before we started, but explain Snapchat. So I only got Snapchat while I was in Egypt. I barely have anybody on there, and it was just to like keep my parents like feeling better about knowing what I was doing while I was in Egypt. My mom couldn't understand the concept of it, so every time I would call and she'd say, what are you guys doing today? You didn't tell me, you didn't upload your pictures, whatever. I'd say, like, ask my brother to show you my story. And he knew what that meant, but all I would hear is my mom going, Peter! So she couldn't understand why it was only for 24 hours, why it was only 10 seconds, you know, why sometimes it was going really fast and sometimes it was going really slow. But give me, like, how would you define Snapchat if you were trying to explain it to your cousin in Egypt who didn't have it? Or to maybe an older person who didn't have it? To your parents, like, how would you explain Snapchat to someone? How many people have Snapchat? Uncle, do you have Snapchat? What do you know about it?
Just if you have like a few seconds to see like a scene picture of something. Things and then.
What are you seeing? What do you post on Snapchat?
Well, I'm there.
Okay. So the description I would take, if it's not Beher doing his puns, I think it would go something along the lines of, it's basically a way to see what my friends or even just acquaintances are doing all the time, when and where. So how the barista spelled their name wrong at Starbucks, my view from the window at work in case you missed that it's raining or snowing, a random thing I saw on the street, or where I am. Oh, beautiful, I'm at Gatineau Park, Pink Lake, it's so beautiful. Snapchat the story so everyone can see where I am and where I'm going. And it's constantly updated every 24 hours, right? So first thing I do in the morning, reach for my phone in case something's been posted, and I check it. So remember that knowledge is a powerful thing, and it's important, but you kind of want to be careful with how much you really want to know at the end of the day. You're really bombarded with a lot of information if you think about it. How many people have flown EgyptAir out of Montreal? Okay. This is something my family did a lot back in the days, and it is the craziest thing when you get to the airport because it's just this, like, mess. And they actually gave, like, EgyptAir a corner because the Egyptians were just so hazardous to, like, everyone else's safety that they had to, like, create a corner for EgyptAir, literally, okay? Because what would happen is everybody, have you ever seen your parents pack? I don't know if you guys do this. I do this. How do you close a suitcase? It's a lot of sitting, group effort. You call your sibling and, like, everybody's, like, pulling on a side. It's, like, hoping for the best. So usually what happens is you get to EgyptAir at the airport, you try to check in, and ladies at the counter is like, hey, it's overweight, you try to bribe them, only works in Egypt. So you have to get out of the line, and you have to, like, get on the floor and, like, start unpacking stuff, okay? So you usually have three options at that point. You start wearing, like, a bunch of sweaters on top of each other. If you're lucky, somebody's with you and you can give them the stuff, or you start, like, holding random stuff or throwing out random stuff. And then you seal it back up, you hope for the best, and you go back a second time, probably still overweight because you barely took like a kilo out, and you go back and redo it. So literally you would walk in, and we didn't even have to ask where the counter was. You would just see people on the floor with their bags open, like taking stuff out and, you know, doing that. So the problem is like this overflow, right? And we do the same with our mind. It's just overburdened. So you can't control a lot of the information you see. You can't control all the stuff at school, maybe on the bus, you know, randomly at McDonald's or anything like that. But you do have some control over what goes in terms of, do I need WhatsApp and Snapchat and, like, what, Vine? What else is there? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Can't get the point of Twitter. Yeah. Do I need all that stuff, right? So you do have a lot of control in terms of what you decide to do that. What does your email inbox look like? Junk? Like, I've stopped opening my email daily because it's just junk, right? It's, I know how much a flight to Mexico costs on sale, and I know what Groupon is available, and I know, you know, what's on sale where. It's just become this information overload to the point sometimes I lose people's emails in the middle because it's just so much advertisement that I just, like, delete the entire page because it's just too much, right? So we take in so much information, but just keep in mind today that you can't control a lot of what's around you, even at church. Like, there's a church bulletin board, or sometimes you're just in a washroom at a restaurant. Like, there's stuff around. There's nothing to do when you're in the washroom. You're just looking around. But you can't control that stuff. But you can control definitely how much goes in on your end. And so that was the last point that I wanted to talk about, is this whole issue of control. Anyone know who those are? Are they in the Bible or just in Tzibah? So I've been told two different things, so I just want to check. Bible? Just Tzibah? I'm getting confirmation they're in the Bible. Good. All right. Anybody want to recap their story really quickly? It can be done in like three sentences. Not all at once. Okay, perfect. I'll hit done. So basically, these were during the time of Daniel. They were three friends who were being very encouraged and invited to eat at the king's table, and they refused. And they knew what would happen, which was most likely some form of torture and death. But they remained solid in their faith and in their friendship with each other, and they just refused. And so basically what happened is they got thrown into the fire, and even to the point that the king was so upset at, like, that they're not listening to him. So he actually turned the heat up to the point that some of the guards, like some of his guards, were dying from how hot it was. And so they got thrown in, and he peeks and he sees basically the three of them walking around and a fourth kind of person or shadow or angel or god with them. And they come out unharmed, and he respects that. Yeah, they don't get harmed at all inside that crazy fire. And so an important lesson here is really to be solid in a lot of things. So obviously our values, solid in your friendship. So having friends with similar values is really, really important. You've probably noticed going into university now or college that your high school friends aren't exactly the crew that you're always hanging out with anymore. I don't know if you've managed to keep all the same friendships you did in high school. If you did, that's pretty cool. But a lot of times we just get so busy, and so you have to kind of limit who your friends are, just because you don't have the same amount of time anymore in schedule. But you know, when you're in a hurry and it just feels like life is spinning out of control or hectic, it's really your friends that have the good values that are going to remind you of, you know, hope and faith and all that stuff. Okay, so the other thing too, you want friends that are going to remind you of, you know, how much control you actually have in life, right? How much grace you're given, how much faith, you know, that you can have. So again, in terms of relying on friends. So you can have 800 friends on Facebook, you know, but are there 800 people that you would go to when you're having a hard time? It's probably less than a handful. So keep in mind that those are kind of your close ones to rely on. And those are the ones that you want to trust with important stuff, right? You don't want to necessarily, when you have a problem, you're not necessarily going to create a group chat on WhatsApp and start, you know, like broadcasting your problem all the time, okay? So I'm talking about trust, scenario-wise. So your parents, are you guys like iPhone people or Android people?
Android.
Are you going to vote? How many iPhoners? Get out. Okay, fine. Take iPhone as an example. So Christmas is coming up. Your parents buy you, what is it now? Myrna was just telling me 7 plus. If the 8 doesn't come out before Christmas, let's pretend the nicest iPhone 7 or 7 plus. Your parents buy you the gold-plated edition, 128, like top of the line, everything, okay? So your parents buy you that one. You just got a screen protector put on for it. The best case you can get, it's a legit one, it's not from China, it's an original. And then you guys are sitting around the fireplace, and your dad's like, hey, throw it in the fire. What do? You just, like, downloaded all the apps or did whatever you needed to do from your old phone. Just put the screen protector on, there's no bubbles, like, it is ready to go. And your dad's like, throw it in the fire. What do? Okay, that's an answer. Why would your dad tell you to throw it in the fire? What else? Am I getting a new one? So like a bit of bargaining, like eyes a thumb and what's going on. Okay, what else? Any other reactions? Would anybody say no? No, not gonna happen. Anybody else? Okay, so those are kind of the typical reactions, okay? We're going to go back to our friend Abraham that we talked about a few minutes ago, okay? He learned to trust God, and he was asked to sacrifice his son. Like, the son, that this is the one thing that he always wanted, right? Like, we think, like, God, I just really want to get into this program, or God, I just really want to get this iPhone, I really just want to get this job, I really want to get this car. But he was asked to sacrifice the one thing that he had. It wasn't a phone, it was a person, it was his own son. And he didn't question, he just did it, right? He didn't say, okay, but you need me another one, right? just making sure, right? So it comes down to, a lot of times, this issue of trust. And there's a verse in Isaiah, and it says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. There are three very simple words, you are mine, but they're three powerful. And I think a lot of times I forget that in terms of, you know, trusting God and sometimes giving him some stuff to handle for me. And so trust comes from knowing God. And there's a difference from knowing God and knowing about God, right? So say you're in a relationship, whether friends or otherwise. It can't be superficial. It can't be, you know, I'll see the WhatsApp message from the notification panel, but I won't open it so they don't know that I opened it. And I will only answer texts when I really kind of want to. I saw that they called, but like I don't use my phone for that. And I'm just, you know, I control kind of everything. You know, I will text, if they call, I'll text later and be like, hey, everything okay? What's up? Phone was on silent. I'm not gonna call back, but I'm gonna text. What does texting do? What does it allow us to do? Good time to answer, okay. Answer at your own time. In other words, in one word, control, right? Back to this issue of control. I'm gonna control what I say when I answer. Because if I have a face-to-face conversation, I may not be able to control as much what I say or my reaction. But texting, I'm at home, they don't see my nonverbal, and keep in mind nonverbal, when I learned about it in university, they said it was worth 70%. I went to a conference yesterday, they said 90, some studies are now showing 93%. So whether it's 70 or 93, it is very high. So you're losing that nonverbal when my whole friendship with you or my whole relationship with you is through a screen, okay? Sometimes it's, I'm not gonna text them. I'm gonna send them a messenger because then I can see when they're typing, right? So it even goes down to that. And like, I see some smirks and it's because it happens, right? And so I've been told it happens, right? And we all do. All do. I do. Okay? So just keep in mind, again, it goes back to this control, right? So I want to text. So if I think I'm going to have a good relationship with God, there has to be communication, right? Can't text him. Can't write him a note. You can have a journal if you want, but really you want to be having those conversations, okay? So if you have a superficial friendship, you're not going to get much out of it. I can just say, I know about Sarah. I don't know Sarah, right? There's a difference there. All right, same thing with God. So keep in mind that it's a relationship and not a religion, okay? Very big difference, and that's a big thing in Christianity. So I'm going to share kind of a, I guess it's a story of what's going on right now, life-wise. So I am generally like to think super organized, structured person. I hate when people cancel plans. I hate when work runs late. I hate when things don't go as scheduled. My assistant's very good at keeping like everything literally by the minute. And like if court runs late, even if it's not me that's controlling it, it's a judge, it like throws my day off. I can handle it, but it throws my day off. So I'm generally somebody, even in school, I would like color coordinate my schedule, and like make sure like this was the work color, and this was the study color, and this was the class color. Like I was one of those people. Still am, and everything's color coordinated. So really big on this whole like organization and structure and controlling, basically controlling everything, right? I like to control the schedule. I get really antsy when we don't start on time. Like those are the types of things that really like get me. So I think God was trying to teach me a lesson in terms of control recently. And so I think some of the people who are kind of close by, some of the people who are close by, know my grandma's been in the hospital for a bit since earlier this year. She's been in the intensive care in a coma, and not a doctor at all, but pretty sure that's as bad as it gets. Like, you can't get any worse than being in the ICU. So over the past few months, I think my trust in God has been tested on quite a few occasions. And I've learned I can't control everything in terms of, you know, life decisions. So even though I see that she's in pain, I can tell the doctor, hey, she's in pain, but I can't control his decision every time he decreases her medication for whatever reason he feels is best. The other thing, the ICU is kind of intimate in terms of like what's going on in there. It's just not the greatest environment, but I can't control who comes to see her. So some friends wanted, like seniors wanted to come see her, my friends would want to come, random tunts from church would want to come. And sometimes after being there for a few hours or like, you know, right after a heart attack or a seizure, you're just not in the mood to have a tunt talk to you about why you weren't at church or what you were wearing or, you know, gaining weight or doing this or doing that. So a lot of times I learned also you can't control who comes to see her, you can't control what people say. So that was a really important lesson for me. So a lot of times people say stuff, we get mad at them. I guess we can control our anger, but you can't control what people say. So that was a really good lesson. I can't control what people say, but I can control what's said around her or what she hears. So we're not sure if she can hear us or not, but I'll make a point on nothing negative is said, and if something gets negative said, I don't care who you are, you're getting asked to leave. Hymns, I'll make sure, like, she's really big on Agbeya, so I'll play the Agbeya, things like that. So there are certain things I can control. I can't control if she's gonna, you know, eventually wake up from this coma, or if she ever is gonna wake up, or if she's gonna wake up tomorrow, but I can control what happens when I wake up and what I do best with my time, right? So if I have to structure my time between service and maybe studying and school, so there's a control factor, right? So when you got up this morning, you didn't control the weather, right? You didn't control what time the bus came. You didn't control traffic, right? So you didn't control how many people are in the Tim Hortons or Starbucks lineup. But you made thousands of decisions that you probably didn't notice. You know, what to wear, should I be on, you know, if you were on time, you had a lot of control in that. You had control if you showered, if you didn't. Same thing, you know, for mass. You have a lot of control over how early I come, how late I come, how I control everything. So I know when I would constantly get asked, what time's the Bible? That was like the golden question, right? And I remember Buna Anthony one time answering and saying, curtain opens at 8. So if you're coming for a show and you want to come for the intermission, you know, it's different. But if you really want to come to attend, it's at 8. So I'll just say it's, you know, people have midterms right now, people have finals, people are looking for jobs, may not be able to find one yet. A lot goes to, I can only do so much, but I do my part and I let God do the rest. Okay, so I learned that I can't control everything. I may really want this job, I don't get it, right? I may really want an A+, I don't get it. But I can control how much time I have. So if somebody says to me, hey, I can't come to youth group, or I can't come to this event, or I can't be at church at all this weekend because I'm so busy studying, but their last scene time is 8 minutes ago, and half an hour later it's 5 minutes ago, and they're posting and this and that, you gotta wonder, like, it's not for us to judge, but you gotta wonder, you know, how do you manage your time expectedly, right, accordingly. And so another kind of final lesson I think I learned with kind of the hospital situation going on is sometimes you really need to talk to somebody, right? And so you can decide that you just want to take all your burdens and load on your own, or you can decide that maybe it's time to talk to somebody, and sometimes it could even be God. Like, sometimes, no matter what any one of my friends or family or, like, spiritual advisors said, sometimes it doesn't really do much, to be honest, but sometimes it's really talking to God and kind of dealing with the burden and the load. And so does anyone know what the difference between a burden and a load is? It's the same thing. From God's perspective, which one does he expect us to handle all of them by ourselves? Start with that. Okay. Good. So he says in Galatians, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then he says, for each one shall bear his own load. So loads are personal, loads are mine, those I gotta take care of myself. Burdens are the big stuff, where we're not created to be alone, right? He saw that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, so God said, you know what, I'm gonna give you Eve. The church is a body in Christ, it's a family. So you can reach out to people if you need to, reach out to your servants, reach out to a friend, spiritual advisor. But just keep in mind, you're not expected, whether now or when you're parents or when later in life when you're working, you're not expected to carry just all this stress and all these burdens on your own. All right, we'll play one more round with the yellow sticks now. And we'll sum up. All right, so you have two options. One is it's a load, like this is something that God's expecting me to handle on my own and figure out. The other one is hashtag it's first world problem, okay? It's not a load from God, it's just a first world problem. And there will not be any judging for your answers from anybody, and again, peer pressure, don't let it go. do your thing. It's more of like a self kind of activity to kind of see where you stand. I have to wake up early. I have to wake up extra early to take the bus to church because my parents are out of town. I have to wake up extra early to go to church either because my ride can't pick me up when I want, or I have to take the bus because my parents are out of town. So is that a hashtag first world problem, or is that just a load God's expecting me to? I'm cheating. Okay, so we have a mix. A load is something that God is expecting you to handle. So it could be a stressful situation. It could be that it's just something that he's giving you to deal with. Back to our original definition, so it was minor inconvenience. Minor inconvenience that I make a big deal out of, basically. Internet is down, storm outside, and now I have to learn from a textbook for my exam. You basically, the internet's down, and so you have to use a textbook. You can't use the internet. So you have to so instead of typing your notes, you have to do them by hand and all that stuff. Okay. Starbucks is out of caramel macchiatos, and I do not like coffee. Starbucks is out of caramel macchiatos. This is another one. Starbucks is out of caramel macchiatos, and I'm allergic to coffee. Does that change your mind? You're allergic. Okay. We'll do, narrow down to one more. I need to help my mom clean the house because Abuna's coming over, but I have one project due tomorrow as well as a midterm. Seems to be an issue for some of you. And another one with really mixed results. Okay, very interesting. So the goal wasn't to say that there's a right answer, there's a wrong answer. I think everybody has their own personal answer. But I think the goal is really to just consider the fact, at the end of the day, it's a self sort of activity, okay? Last question I will ask today, which one is the correct spelling? Alter ego. Which one's the correct spelling? First one. What does the first one mean? Psychology, folks. What's the first one mean? Duality in your personality, exactly. So it's a psychology concept, and I guess the shortest I could find was it's a second or trusted friend, but within yourself. So it's trusting yourself. So kind of the dual, like Sarah said. An alter with an A, so that was alter with an E for the psychology personality. Alter with an A, it's where we bring sacrifices. So it's where you submit to God. So the alter inside the Hagen. So there's this sense of submission. So I'm giving my problem to God. I'm submitting, giving him control, and in return getting some sort of comfort and strength to be able to go on. So it's basically coming to God's table and giving him something. Do you guys remember that song? Can we do just the first two verses? Like just the verse and the refrain all together? All right. One, two, three. Gentle Jesus is the Lord, we come to your table. To your table, we come to your table. We come to your table. just going back to them, alter ego, if you think about the first one, it's basically erasing God out. Okay, so for the ego part, you're erasing God out because it's trusting me, trusting what's inside. The second option, think of it as entrusting God only. So, I mean, if you take anything away today, it's kind of see where you stand on things and which approach in life you want to take. Hopefully, we're all going for the second one in terms of entrusting God only. But you can't have it both ways, right? There's not this balance because sometimes we try to negotiate with God. So, really, if there's one sort of advice kind of today, the solution sometimes to this kind of constant rush and kind of feeling like stressed and we have a billion things on our shoulder and I can't do this or go here or attend this because I have exams, for fast acting relief, sometimes it's just a matter of slowing down, kind of disconnecting a bit, right? So slow down, look out the window, you know, slow down, give nature a chance. So that's my pitch for tomorrow for Gatineau Park. We'll be leaving at 1, so hopefully you guys can all make it. And we did reduce the time, so we'll be back, inshallah, by 3. That includes the hike. We're going to do the Pink Trail, so it's under 2 kilometers. Snacks and water on us, and if you need rides, we'll have rides from church. If you need rides from downtown, just text John. And just slow down and learn to, you know, maybe give things to God, and slow down and disconnect. So accept not knowing everything, and accept that it's okay to not know everything. Okay, and then just trust that God has a plan and that he has everything under control. It's my favorite verse. I always try to throw this into any topic that I can. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So I feel it really summed up the topic really well in terms of just control and trust and what we give him and what we don't. I know we kind of went over today, so my apologies. We will be very good at starting on time, so we'll communicate that with you guys. So it gets me antsy when we don't start on time. But any questions or comments or anything anybody disagrees with or wants to add? Does anybody have announcements or anything?